We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It is the wifely voice of Marianne Fitzmaurice, but the host, the real host, is here. Tom is with me, but we just thought we'd pull a switcheroo on you and let me start the show.
You may accept the show, madame.
Yeah. 260-6368 is the number, so we're going to go back to our chitter-chatter. I don't have a very lengthy intro like Tom has, but I just wanted to say hi.
Well, would you like to use this phone number here? Because I never do.
No, it's don't do the phone number. We decided I'll do all the phone numbers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
260-6368 is the number. Wait, mm-hmm. Do what, Ron? Okay. We're going to go ahead and I'll do the phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the commercials, and we'll just chat.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I've heard worse ideas.
Yeah. Anyway, so what would you like to chat about?
Who, me or you or Ronald or any of the other people around here?
Well, I mean, I have a bunch of things that I could throw out. I love your little gazetteer, so I've got like
you
about
do?
16 different things off of that that we can talk about. The first being lobster.
Good. Did you bring one?
Oh, lobster. Is that? Lobster, yeah. You
can like look three out. Pages worth.
Yeah, no, you have some good stuff in there.
Like, for example, we begin with the very first item, which seems
I
like...
I just said lobster.
Oh, really? Lobster.
Yes. National Lobster Day. Do you like lobster?
You know, I do, but I don't. You can get me excited about it, but not always. The I remember that let's see, knowing a beautiful woman that I happen to know, she really didn't think very much of lobster at all.
Uh-huh.
And on the other hand, there are people who run the prices up for lobster in restaurants. And if you want to see just how high it can go to the steakhouses, the big deal steakhouses, like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, mm-hmm. and all the rest of the big ones, and look at the prices that they have on lobster. It's off the charts. I mean, it's really high. I mean, to my feeling about it.
Well, you know, lobster, I remember there's only one lobster that, actually, I've had a couple of good lobsters, and good is a relative term because I'm just not a lobster fan, but I remember a long, long time ago on the first Canadian cruise,
mm-hmm.
we rented a car in...
Car ahead. Place.
Go ahead. Your favorite mm-hmm. H word.
Hurricane.
Tom, is that your favorite H word? My goodness.
No, it's my least favorite word.
Although it did. Thought it was odd to hear you say that. Halifax, Tom.
Halifax, yeah, that's the...
Tom has a Halifax.
Yeah, let's check and see.
He has an obsession with the four letters, H-A-L-I.
What is, yeah, let's see what the...
Halibut in
the
Halifax.
The fish of the
I
day
can't
is...
I can tell you how many
halibut,
times
that's right.
I have heard... Yeah. Those four letters together, for some reason, mm-hmm. they're inexorably linked, and that's it. Halibut in Halifax.
And it has a local connection, though, that you have to know. Well, it's a good idea to note it. And then that is it is the home of the Cajuns.
The Cajuns.
So
yes.
you need not feel
well,
even
one of the homes. I mean, aren't there? They're all up there.
Well,
right?
It's mostly Nova Scotia is the headquarters of it, and then.
Yeah. No. Well, anyway, there's a little town that is—it's an historic town called Lunenburg.
Oh yeah, I remember that
and
place.
And the first time we went to the to Nova Scotia, the first time that we went on that Canadian cruise, you and I rented a car and drove all around Nova Scotia, Halifax,
mm-hmm.
and the environs thereof. And Lunenburg's about, I think, 2.5 hours outside of Halifax. And we just drove in very remote areas, and the one thing that stuck out to me above all other things was that there are a lot of in the boonies sauerkraut factories.
Yeah, I thought that was peculiar too, because
it's really strange.
The two, I like both things, but the two don't sound like you'd put together.
You could buy the fresh sauerkraut in those milk cartons all over the place, and it was just sort of an odd thing to discover. But anyway, Lunenburg is this cute little town in the middle of nowhere. And I can picture the street right now. There's just a little street, and there's a red restaurant there, and I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but I do remember that we got a lobster there, and it was literally right off the boat. And I thought, you know what, maybe this is not so bad. That was the first lobster I'd ever had where I actually thought, well, you know, I could do this. But I mean, for generally speaking, no. You know, I've had a couple of other ones always in Halifax. We had one at the Lobster Pound that time. And that was kind of good.
Yeah, I remember that it was kind of rainy and kind of cold that day, but it was otherwise pleasant, and the colors were beautiful.
Well, it's always a little bit cold when we're there, I don't know that I can't remember. Maybe you were there once when I wasn't, and it was raining, but I've had essentially the lobsters that I've had that were good were there. So you have mm-hmm. that saying, eat it where it lives, and I guess that's just true.
That's something I've been saying for a long time. Not that I'm all that smart now. Let's, you know, keep that straight. There's one thing that happens every now and then. And tell me before I get to the punchline on this, what your thought is about it. And that is, if you go to a good lobster place or a steakhouse that has a lot of lobsters,
we have a caller.
Imagine that. Wait, we'll do
260-6368 if you would like to talk to us about lobster or anything else. So let's take it.
Paula. Is the lady.
Hello.
Welcome to our show. Come on in. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You were supposed to do that, weren't you?
That's fine.
Okay. All right.
How y'all doing today?
We're fine, thanks. You?
Well, I'm calling. I'm kind of an inroads here about the age of vanilla. Does vanilla extract last forever, or?
Well,
probably
the correct answer is that it does sometimes and it does other times, and the difference is that there's vanilla that actually goes bad on you. It doesn't get moldy or anything like that, but it definitely gets this kind of what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of a little bit. Browning a little bit, but it's another example of one of my interesting, well, at least it is to me, ideas, and that is eat it when and where it lives. So if you've had like especially one of those little bottles of vanilla, and
like the McCormick variety,
yeah. You're wondering if it's any good because you bought it 17 years ago. When in doubt, throw it out. It's never.
How old is it?
Well,
I'm gonna tell you all the truth. It's a good 3 or 4 years old. Tells you how much I bake.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years old, that's not that bad, is
it? No,
it
isn't.
No, not at all.
The next thing I was going to say here is that we buy our vanilla and all of a whole bunch of other flavors directly from the outfit that does snowballs, all of these the different kinds
Ronald
of...
Ronald Reginald's is the name.
Ronald Reginald's is
the
exactly
Mexican
right.
Vanilla.
Mexican
it's
vanilla.
Really
developed
good.
By Warren LaRuth.
It's really
so,
good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you have the McCormick thing, and 3 or 4 years isn't very long. Of course, like I said, I have to qualify that. You're asking the wrong person.
Well, this isn't a McCormick thing. It comes in, it's like about a 6 or 8 ounce bottle, glass bottle.
Yeah.
I would keep it refrigerated, but it's probably okay. But if it starts tasting stale, get rid of it.
That's what I'll do. I'll just taste it. That's a thought.
There you go. Good idea.
Good luck with it.
I hate to throw it away if it's still good, but...
Who could blame you?
I don't even throw it away if it's bad. Thanks for calling, Paula. What? 260-6368.
Have a good day.
There he goes. It's the food show.
260-6368. We're talking about vanilla now. We were talking about lobster. I wonder how lobster with vanilla would taste. Probably not horrible. I think I've even had that.
I can tell you the answer to that, and it's the same answer we threw in here just a few seconds ago, and that is Warren LaRuth, who developed that vanilla we were just talking about. But he was ongoing with an experiment.
Yeah, he was very experimental.
And he was doing things like lamb chops and oysters, things that you would never in a million years pair up with vanilla.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, tarragon's kind of got a vanilla-ish quality to it, sort of.
Yeah.
Which is a seafood thing.
There was a guy who was on the show once a long time ago, and I was asking him about, he was making a big fuss over his vanilla because he was putting it into his sauces. These were not sweet sauces. These were savory sauces all the way. And he questioned whether, you know, is that a combination you should make at all? But Warren LaRuth, to the rescue, he called in and he said, I've been experimenting with that for 2 or 3 years. And he said, I like it pretty well. Mm-hmm. So vanilla and pork chops. I mean, I know it doesn't sound right, but try it. You'll like it, I think.
I don't think you can guarantee that, Tom. Try it.
No,
you might like it.
You just never tell.
Anyway, lobster bisque is good, and lobster mac and cheese is hot, but I'm not really all that much of a fan of lobster mac and cheese.
We're getting into the time of year when that is coming on pretty good. But I could see that wouldn't be for everybody.
I'm not a fan of lobster rolls either, although those are very popular. And in fact, you see those here. And I don't know where you see them, but I have seen them here. I've seen them on a menu.
Pardo's. I saw them one night at Pardo's. They had
a lobster roll there?
Yeah, believe it or not. Really? It didn't sound right to me either, but it was good.
Well, I could see somebody like him doing that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you could definitely see that. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU.
I didn't mean to stump it. We are being hosted today by Marianne.
Oh, that's right. And yes. The wife.
And we would love to add you to the list of people that we'd like to talk with. And so fire away. Just jump in.
260-6368. We went to Bosco's yesterday for lunch, and I talked about that a little bit. So I had for lunch today, I had the remainder of that crab meat au gratin. Did you even have any of that?
Oh, yeah, I had a pretty good bit of it, and it was exactly what I expected it to be. It was cut, come to think of it, but it was grilled. Actually, it wasn't grilled either. It was hot pan, butter, and put kind of a crust on the outside, which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. And that, I thought, came out pretty good.
Did you? Yeah, it can. It was good the second day as well. It's kind of like the mac and cheese I had the other day where you put it in the skillet and puts a little crust on it.
Yeah. I like the combination of the two things together. But once you start dumping the red sauce on top of it, to me it starts losing its orientation.
Okay, I think you've switched off into something else.
Like I have.
Maybe chicken parm. I don't know what we were talking about because I was talking about crab meat au gratin.
Yeah.
No, red sauce and crab meat au gratin. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We also had, I was kind of looking for the crab claws to see if Bosco's had their crab claws yesterday because I think that Bosco's may have the best crab claws I've had.
Who?
Crab claws, Bosco's.
Bosco's does a lot of good food.
I love crab claws, and you get varying, but not too varying, versions of crab claws wherever you go. pretty much the same recipe is the crab claws, the garlic, olive oil, maybe some Parmesan cheese, some herbs, and that's pretty much it. Maybe some butter, sometimes some cream.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you get a huge pile of crab claws because they're not very big.
Yeah.
The difference, the only one that differs from that formula is Pat Gallagher, who does a crab claw that is so big, there are only 8 to an order, and it's served in a thick mushroom cream sauce, and those are absolutely killer. Have you ever had a stone crab claw?
I have. In fact, you might recall that on that very first cruise that we made on the, it starts with a C, what's the name of it? You'll know, I know.
You won't Conquest, the Carnival
the Conquest.
Conquest. Uh-huh.
They had it in their super high duper.
They had Joe's Crab Claws?
Yeah, they did.
Well, was that out of my aunt? No, that was here. That was here, right?
That's right. It was out of here, but they had it in their high-level restaurant.
I have never been to Joe's Stone Crabs in Miami, which I find kind of hard to believe. But
the
it's
prices
on my list
are interesting.
To go. Well, it's incredibly high, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They have a. That's one of the places that has one of the remaining Smith & Wolenskys in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it does very, very well, which is why they keep it there, down in South Beach.
Yeah.
260-6368 is the number. We have a caller. Gregory.
We always
need you to kick off the show, Gregory.
I think a new caller here.
Gregory?
Yeah, I'm a brand new caller. I'm not following this crazy show before. Yeah. I don't even know why I'm phoning now.
I don't know why you're calling either.
Thank you, Tom.
Because he knows that we need the help. Hi,
yeah, we need the help.
Gregory is giving us a call.
Do you see how much I missed you yesterday? Marianne did a whole show, and I didn't even phone in. So,
Anyway. Yeah. What? Well,
yeah.
These things happen.
These things happen. Okay. An abomination. Kitty food mixed with a delicate seafood like lobster. I ain't never gonna do it.
Wait a minute.
I was talking about lobster mac and cheese just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would do that because I give the dog all kinds of things that I don't want to eat. So.
Oh, you're talking about the dog? Oh, I just tuned in.
Or the cat. The dog or cat. I mean... I don't ever pay attention to the cats.
Sounds
so.
Appropriate to me.
Actually,
dog food, in my opinion.
I did try to give the cats a little anchovy that we were given at Bosco's, but they didn't really go for it, which is amazing because I'm not sure they trust me. Go ahead, what?
Why don't you give them sardines and garlic?
Yes.
I have that patented.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did you
make
bring
millions
up the
of
subject
dollars
of giving an animal lobster? Who's doing that?
That's funny. I'm just laughing so much because I know Tom Patton's dad, I suppose. I mean, the sardines and garlic. Garlic and sardines on toast or garlic and sardines on whatever.
I keep waiting for the garlic sardine ice cream that he keeps asking for someone to actually, you know, put that in vanilla ice cream and bring it to him.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do recall the ice cream bit he did once. Yeah.
Well, he does the garlic and sardines everywhere. Why did you ask? I'm curious though. Why did you ask about lobster and cat food?
Someone
was mentioned about this rages macaroni and cheese with lobster.
Right.
Lobster macaroni and cheese.
Right.
I am a purist. I do not do cheese on any seafood. I just don't do it.
That's the Italians. Yeah.
And a lot of people in New Orleans love it. They love crab, you know, gratin. They love, you know, with the cheese on it. I don't even like my shrimp fettuccine. You know, I just don't understand it.
It's okay. We all like what we like, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. But, I think Tom knows as well as I do. I mean, in Italy, you'll never see cheese paired with
you. You never will.
Ever.
That's what he says. Yeah. Okay. I never pay attention because I'm usually out walking while Tom's eating. All right, Gregory, thank you for calling 260-6368. We'll take a break and be right back.
Oh, is that?
What?
Oh, Call back. We lost you somewhere in the ether. This is the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. But running the show today is Marianne, who runs pretty much just about everything in my life. And that's cool with me, you know. I've got no problem with that. We will return with more of the Food Show in a moment. And maybe you have a few ideas about that, you know. That would be an interesting discussion, you know.
But not about food.
No,
260-6368. We're going to take... Oh, who is on the board today? That is Ron, who is a huge Dr. John fan, so much so that I felt compelled to write a note to you about the passing of your beloved Dr. John. I'm very sorry about that.
I had no idea how old he was, because to me, he was like a teenager. Huh?
He wasn't very old.
Oh, he was.
How old was he?
70-something.
That's old?
Well, I guess not. I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it. But he had gone through a lot, let's just say that, over the years.
Yeah. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number, Tom. What is your very favorite evening thing to eat?
Evening thing to eat. That's got to be...
What's probably the last thing you eat before you go to bed?
Oh, before I go... It's completely the last thing.
I don't know. I don't watch you that closely, but I know that every evening you can be seen consuming this item.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's an easy one, because it's that brand of ice cream that is mainly... It's not ice cream. It's mainly milk and a little bit of vanilla.
No, it's ice cream.
Well, okay.
They're very famous for it. Breyers ice cream.
Breyers. And that has an unusual flavor. And Marianne told me, I didn't really understand this. But that ice cream, it's extremely light in its texture. And you start eating and it seems like there's almost nothing there except that it's ice cold, very cold, in fact. And then the finishing... flavor is just this
creamy vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tom, for some reason, had managed to get to be 68, I guess, 67.
You mean I got 68.
Without having experienced Breyers, I don't understand how that's possible. But anyway, it was like it was some... foreign product he had never heard of when I brought it home, because I got tired of him eating these disturbing chemical ice cream sandwiches he picked up at Walgreens. So I brought some Breyers into the house, and it was just like a curtain had been raised, and light flooded into your life, Tom, and you were just all of a sudden introduced to the idea of real ice cream. So he's been marveling about this Breyers ice cream with just the milk, the sugar, and the eggs ever since. But the reason I bring it up is, you look like you want to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, I had nothing in a hurry, except that there is one kind of ice cream that I've always just loved, but it's not all that available without being in the right place. And if I have a choice between that and any other ice cream, I would go for the...
garlic sardine.
You're close. Spumoni.
Oh.
I love Spumoni.
I know you do. Yes. Yeah. I don't know that... I don't think that you... I don't know that Breyers has a pistachio.
I don't think so. It's hardly anybody that...
They have a strawberry and a vanilla and a chocolate, but if you could take the pistachio and put it in there, then you could have it. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe I need to go and get you some Spumonis from Brocato.
Could be. I mean, they certainly move.
You can have that every night instead of vanilla. Although the vanilla is really good. But anyway, the reason I ask is that today, this is from your little gazetteer, in 1789, the year that our son's high school started, Mrs. Alexander Hamilton served ice cream. For the first time, at the first. Well, I don't know. It probably wasn't It was probably at his house and not at the White House.
Well, they didn't have freezers in those days. So
she served it, so he must have liked it pretty well because it's still around. So it was cherry vanilla. That's what you say, it's cherry vanilla. Did you make that up, or do you think it really was cherry vanilla?
Oh, I think that's just
a little lore.
That's
lore.
It, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, ice cream. So good.
I love it.
Besides Spumoni, what are your vanilla? You're just a vanilla guy. You're just a
I'm
plain
a vanilla
old
guy.
Vanilla guy.
I've put this forth before to see if anybody else bites for it. You have these units, not units so much. It is categories into which different kinds of ice cream or flavors in general, and they are. All the chocolate things. There are people who are chocolate people, and that's it. If it's not chocolate, it doesn't qualify as anything like chocolate, any dessert, really, even. And then you have caramel or custard items, and that would be like bread pudding or caramel custard or
creme brulee.
That was the next one I was going to say. And I love all of those, but not everybody does. Every now and then I'll run into somebody who just would not touch custard or creme brulee or any of those things.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, you don't like them?
I mean, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like I have had creme brulee and it's fine, and I've had custard and that's fine, but I am never going to go out of my way to have it. I do go out of my way to have chocolate. I'm definitely one of those kind of people. But I find that when I do ice cream, 260-6368, want to hear your favorite ice cream flavors.
Yeah.
When I eat ice cream, I like stuff in it.
Stuff in it?
Yes.
Like little... Little
pecans?
That was one of the things I was about to say.
I like the butter... The butter pecan ice cream. Ron just voted for butter pecan. I like that.
Yeah.
For a while, my mom was really into black walnut ice cream.
Mm.
And I guess that would probably have come from the blocks of K&B ice cream that we used to have at the house, or the tubs of whatever that, I don't know, name brand was. But I don't know if Breyers has a black walnut or if you even see that very much. I love chocolate chip ice cream. Haagen-Dazs had a chocolate chip that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting gelato, I like stracciatella.
Stracciatella.
Yeah, I like that.
And you know what else they put under that same word? There are several pasta dishes that have white sauce, red sauce, and all that. And it doesn't exactly go with ice cream,
yeah.
But people want different things.
You have to have just like the plain vanilla, but Spumoni has like a what is the
five.
Nut? What is the nut? That's is it pistachio?
It's pistachio. That's the green part.
No. The nut that's in there. It's like
the
a
nut. It's pistachio.
It's pistachio.
Too. Yeah.
Okay. I find that it's not in just the green portion. It's in the other portion too. That's pistachio mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. It's pretty chunky. Okay. It gets caught in your teeth and the whole
uh-huh.
thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, I like stuff like that.
Me too.
I love. A dark chocolate ice cream with chocolate flakes in it. So I'm trying to think. I'm not so much on the fruit in ice cream.
Mm.
When you see the cherry in ice cream, not so much. Mm. But nuts and flakes of chocolate. That's what I like in ice cream because I don't really like just plain smooth ice cream. Peanut butter maybe. Pieces in ice cream.
Just a couple of days ago, we had a food show. A person who loves us a lot, near as I can tell. Anyway, Mary Lee, who I think you know.
I think I do know her.
Yeah. And anyhow, here's what I was having dinner once, and Here was what I found on the menu at Porter and.
Is that a hint that you want me to do the Porter and
Luke's?
No,
well, no, not exactly.
What did you find on the menu at Porter and
Luke? Here, right here. Yeah, Spumoni, right here at the very.
Oh, at Porter and Luke, they had Spumoni?
Now, who would have guessed that? I wouldn't have.
From Brocato?
They just got you don't get better than that Spumoni that Brocato does.
That's what is the actual definition of Spumoni?
I don't know.
I
knew you were going to ask me that, but I've never heard what the full answer
the
is for that.
Definition of that is.
Yeah,
I cannot believe people are not calling about ice cream. Everyone has an opinion about ice cream.
Tell
everyone
us your favorite
loves
ice cream. Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone loves ice cream. Is there a person out there that doesn't like ice cream? That doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right to me either.
Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Let's go ahead and take a break right after I do this Porter and Luke spot, because Porter and Luke
would you care
is
to
one
do
of
it
our not? Sponsors.
I have the whole menu. Okay,
I don't need it.
You know it already.
Because we go to Porter and Luke so often.
Well, that's true.
I have my favorites, but I have a list of things that I would try if I could get past my favorites, and should try because they look really great. But I'm not sure what day it is. It might even be Thursday. They have a steak special if they're still doing it.
Every week. And it's good. It's a great taste.
I know you went there and you were really, really impressed with
it.
We
great
went there
bargain.
One night for dinner and you were surprised to see a steak special. You got it and you were really, really impressed.
Mm.
But they have I don't know if it's Mondays where they have the red beans and rice, but I think they have red beans and rice every day, but they have a ham shank on. It could be every day, but you might want to call them about this. But the ham shank looks really great. They also serve the red beans and rice with sausage, which it looks like a good sausage because, you know, there are bad ones. and they have a pork chop, too.
Yeah.
Fried pork chop.
Monday is a great night to go to Porter and Luke for that.
Any night's a good night to go to Porter and Luke. But I would imagine that tonight... tonight is Thursday, so they have the steak special.
And that is, by the way, one day I was in there and I thought, I'm just going to give it a shot. Because when there's some sort of daily special and it's something that usually is pretty good quality, you wonder for a moment, is this a good deal or not? But that one you need not worry about.
It's a steak.
The steak is, I've had my share of bad steaks. You can get some really boring.
Well, remember when, what's her name, Crazy Johnny was remember when Crazy Johnny was doing was it a $5 steak or something?
$4.95.
That was
enough.
A long time ago, though. Okay, let's take a caller. 260-6368. Hi. Michael? It's Michael.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. Good evening, y'all.
Hi.
Nice to hear you. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you. I didn't know I'd left. Where did I go?
Go ahead.
Well, you weren't on yesterday, were you?
No.
Oh, yesterday was. We had. We will work our way around other programming yesterday.
All right. So go ahead. What you
got? Marianne was flying solo without you.
I was.
Well, that I will believe.
Go ahead.
So now weigh in, Marianne. I think the best New York pizza in town is still Moe's on the West Bank.
Yeah.
Sorry, I like Slice. Okay, but. I love Moe's. You were talking about that yesterday.
I happen to know she
can't
loves.
Remember what the other...
Moe's is a good one.
Moe's is good. Yeah.
Have you had Fat Boys? Have you had Fat Boys on?
Where is that? Where is that
Fat
at?
Fat Boys is on Metairie Road.
Oh, that.
And it's appropriately named because the slice is $7, and the reason it's $7 is that it's so enormous. It's the size.
I don't
of
think
two,
you could get your arms completely
it's
around
the size
it.
Of
I'm serious.
Two regular New York style. Well, you know how big the ones are at Moe's. If you double that, that's what this is. That's what this is.
Wow.
Slice. It's crazy.
That's a big slice.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I will check that one out. I can't remember what else you were talking about. Oh, I know. You were talking about North Shore restaurants. We went to New Villari's again the other night for the second time, and I really, really like that restaurant.
I do, too. Every I really time. Like it. It's got a little bit of everything on its menu.
It is really good. Do you ever go to nomenu.com and just look around? Because there was a piece
on
Jack Mellon, and New Villari's was in there. Jack Mellon is the...
I do.
You know what I'm talking about? That article was about visiting Jack Mellon over the weekend. And those three are together. There's three restaurants, and New Villaris is part of it.
Yeah. Well, what made me call you today is that you were talking about ice cream. I wanted to know if you guys had been to Piccola Gelateria on Ferret.
Love it.
I have not been there. Tell me about that.
Delicious.
I'm not a big gelato person. I wouldn't say I knew that much about it before I went there. But we did one of these tours where they take you to different restaurants and bars and you jump around. It was a wonderful thing. We really enjoyed ourselves. I mean, we thought this is crazy to do this in our own town, but it was really a gas. And that's where we ended up. Actually, the second to last place, we went to someplace for a cocktail to end the thing up. But boy, that place was unbelievable. And I immediately thought of y'all when I tried it. It is extremely delicious.
Was it busy?
So I recommend
Were
you
they busy?
Try it out sometime. They had probably a dozen people come in and out while we were there visiting. We got to spend some time with the chef, and he kind of went through his process of how he does it. And it's a couple. They're very, very nice. We really enjoyed it.
Yep. Where are they from? They're not from Italy. They're from, like, Eastern Europe maybe or something. Where are they
Could
from?
Could be.
I can't remember exactly. I've slept since then, and I have a little pre-Alzheimer's. So I don't recall where they're from. I thought that he might be French or Eastern European, but I can't remember.
I want to say Viennese or Budapest. I'm not sure, but I think they're definitely they're European for sure. But I don't think it's Italy. I think that I think gelato is really. Really divine, it is. I love to eat gelato in Italy. But I just feel like, and this is just my personal taste, I just feel like American ice cream is great too, you know? But that place that you're talking about, it's a different thing. It really is. When you taste gelato for the first time, you go, this is so rich. This is so otherworldly, you know?
Decadent.
It is. Decadent's the word. It is. And it's they have a certain kind of flavoring in order to, it's got to be Italian flavoring to technically be gelato.
I had the pistachio.
Oh, you did?
I had the pistachio, but I also tried a pineapple one and I believe a watermelon one. Can't remember what my wife got, probably some sort of a coffee-flavored one. But we really, really, really liked it. I'm going to send you guys an email because I meant to do this about those tours. I think you all ought to check out this lady that does these tours. It's just amazing. We had a wonderful host,
in New Orleans,
who was a chef.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, where did they go and where did they come from?
No, it's like a crawl around town.
Oh, it's a crawl.
It's a dine around.
Where does it start?
Yeah, we went on Ferret Street, so we actually started at Dat Dog, which I thought was real suspect.
Which you thought was really what? You thought was what?
Was suspect. It was suspect to me because I'm going to go to Dat Dog? Really? So, you know, I still don't think we've got a great hot dog place in New Orleans like you'd go to in Chicago or Coney Island.
I don't know. I think Dat Dog's pretty good.
Who?
We had an alligator sausage with crawfish etouffee on it, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
And then they served it with an Abita beer. How can you go wrong? But then from there, we just did a bunch of other things, and it was a lot of very, very good food, a lot of fun having the chef take us around. It was really a ton of fun.
How many people were with you?
So it took a couple of hours.
How many hours?
A couple of hours, about 2 hours, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we ended up at a very upscale bar there on Ferret. I can't remember the name
of
it.
Bar Francis.
I believe so. There was like a Lamborghini parked out.
It could have been Cure. Also,
when we got there.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You know,
Bar
we
Francis...
stayed there a little bit longer, just talking. You know.
Well, that's good.
Bar Francis is right next door to Piccolo.
Yeah, that's a great little place.
Yeah, so if you were not right next door, then you were probably at Cure.
Okay, so on the corner.
Yes.
This bar was on the corner.
So it's
yeah.
Cure.
Yeah.
It's quite famous.
Cure
in
might
town.
Have been.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's.
So we had a very nice time, and I thought of y'all quite frequently that night. And I'll send you an email with the lady's contact. And,
okay. Sounds
yeah, and
good.
May and may everything you say come back to you with the idea. I thought about you.
260-6068.
I mean, you said that, so I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Hey, Ron, we didn't take the break, did we? No?
No.
Yeah.
My fault.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? If there's a caller, you take it. That's the way I feel. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Do we have another caller. Okay. All right. Let's take it. Gary.
How are you this evening?
Hi.
I heard you earlier talking about mixing sweet with seafood.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it just so happened last night I tried something different. My son-in-law came in from Desta, and he had just caught red snapper. It was fresh.
Ah, good. So fish.
So I had four pieces of red snapper, and what I did with the thicker portions of the fish is I slightly blackened them and put them over a corn salsa, lime sauce. And what I did with the ends of the fish, the fin ends, because I ran out of the seasoning, I put it in the black skillet and I seasoned it with salt and pepper. And McCormick's has this maple smoke that you use on anything. I lightly seasoned it with that, and that was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, that
does sound good.
It had a real sweet taste to it, and actually made a sandwich today at lunch on a croissant with it.
Where was this?
At his house. He did.
Oh,
at
your house. Wow, you can't waste
it. Maple is kind of an interesting flavor. I don't eat it too much because I'm not into sweets, but I think that's probably the best of the sweets out there. What's it called again? Maple what?
It's one of the rubs they put out. McCormick puts it out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, McCormick's now has a thousand different.
They're gourmet.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
But it's their maple rub. I can't remember the other name they use with it, but it's a maple rub.
Uh-huh.
But it was absolutely wonderful. So don't be afraid to put that on a little bit of fish you may have left over, or even fish itself, and just saute it.
That sounds great.
The other thing, Mary Ann, a few weeks ago I was hearing you talk about you use Savoy sausage in your jambalaya.
It. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever heard of B&B?
I think I've tried it.
Okay. Because it's made out of Bogalusa, and I think it's better.
You think it's better than Savoy? Okay.
It really is. I think it's.
I don't remember it. I don't veer too far from Savoy. I have tried Richard's, which I did like for a while and then decided I didn't. I've tried, what's the one that's made in, it's Saucresse or, I don't know. Anyway.
I haven't tried that. But this one I found out about from a person working in Winn-Dixie. He had worked there after the storm. And he told me that this sauce is made in Bogalusa, and they got the regular and they got the smoked.
Okay.
And I've tried it, and it's much better in my opinion than any other one.
Okay. Is it the consistency of the filling in the casing? In other words, I think that you can what I like about Richard's is it's really chunky, and I like Savoy because it's. I know this sounds kind of gross when you're talking about forced meats, but it's tight. What is the consistency of the actual filler of the casing?
What you're going to find is the actual casing is a little bit thicker than either the one others you're talking about.
Okay.
And it's chunky inside.
It's chunky. Okay, I'm going to try it.
Imagine that.
It's a little more expensive than the other two because just for one link is about $7 or $8.
Oh,
and you
wow.
can get a large link for like $13.
So B&B thinks highly of itself. Okay.
Yeah. But if you try it, you might understand why they think highly of itself.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try it. So obviously I have not tried that. Okay. And where did you get it?
It's at Winn-Dixie.
It's at Winn-Dixie. Okay. Yeah.
I think they have it also at Rouse's. I haven't really looked at Rouse's, but if Winn-Dixie has it, I'm sure Rouse's probably has it also.
Well, not necessarily, because for a while I was really into the Manda Boudin, which I think is a superior product. You can buy it right in the case. If you can't make it to Western Louisiana to get yourself something at a gas station, this Manda does.
Can't go to Eunice. You can't go to Eunice to get it.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Oh, that's a whole different story.
Because
tell them the story behind that.
Behind what?
Behind the
Manda.
No, it's you. Eunice. But Gary has been waiting here rather a long time.
Oh, wait,
so
there's another caller?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
no, we have to take a break.
Gary, okay. Hang on a minute. Right. We'll be back with more.
260-6368. Let's take a break. Bye, Gary. We are back. I'm Mary Ann Fitzmaurice with Tom Fitzmaurice, who is back in the saddle here today. And we are talking about sausage and lobster and ice cream and whatever else you'd like to talk about. 260-6368. I thought you might have something. You look like you wanted to say something.
Well, I did, but
you forgot it.
No, we had just forgotten before we.
Gone. Anyway, there's a really going back to your little gazetteer here, which is so fun. On this day in 1935, Huey Long ended a 15-hour speech in a filibuster on the Senate floor. His speech is the longest in the history of the Senate. Do you remember this story?
I sure do.
Tell it. Go ahead and tell it.
It was the longest-running particular one speech given right there on the floors of the Senate, I think. And they... And he just went on and on and on, more than a few hours. It was into the second day. And he was very respected for that for a long time. But then Huey Long, you were not going to find just a few, off-the-cuff words. You would get quite a lot. Anyway, so that's Huey Long, 15 hours. What, 15? That would be something else. Okay.
Okay, so back to the story. So Huey Long had the longest speech in a restaurant may have occurred on the same date, coincidentally, in 1976, when Nigel Hackle, a waiter at the long-gone Winston's restaurant, spent an hour and 53 minutes. I find this hard to believe.
Wait, I know what this is. I bet I know what this is.
What is it?
This was a waiter who was working over at the Winston's
restaurant, yeah,
which was right over here.
Okay, all right.
You could see it from here.
Okay.
And anyway, he was running the dining room there, but it was verbal. Menu.
The verbal menu.
And so the customers would come in and they'd look over like 25 different things that this what's his name again?
Nigel
could come through, and then he would give the whole thing again. And somebody would say, wait a minute, was that the pork chop or was that the... And it just... The waiter just kept giving the...
It was a couple who couldn't speak English
over
very well.
And over and over again. And it was something you'd never forget.
It was a long evening for Nigel, I think.
Yeah.
I think that must have been hilarious to see that in a dining room. Where was Winston's?
It was on the second floor and in the hotel.
In the Hilton? Was it in the Hilton?
Hilton Hotel. And it was... Which you can see from here.
Are you sure it wasn't on the? Was it on the rooftop?
I don't think it was on the rooftop. I remember going there a few times. It was very formal. That's also it was tax. Jacket and tie required.
Winston's,
it was pretty spiffy.
Winston's.
Yeah, this building right here.
Did this end with Katrina also? Did Winston's end with Katrina?
Oh, it was long gone after Katrina.
No, but I mean, did it end at Katrina? Like you know, so many things ended at Katrina and didn't come back. Was it one of those things?
No, it was not very well received in general, and so it never did have a long shelf life.
What was the restaurant in the Hilton that everyone loved that was at water level?
Yeah,
that went away with Katrina.
It's a funny name. And I'm sorry.
Anybody that knows it, give us a call, 260-6368. It was very popular.
Very
Their
popular.
Their brunch was, and it was something incredibly like,
the name was something like Cheeky, or it had some funny names.
The brunch was, like, they had a Sunday brunch that I think was massively
very
popular.
Very popular, yeah.
And they had a restaurant. We were talking, oh, gosh, we have to leave. But on the rooftop of the Hilton, there was a restaurant. It was kind of like a rainforesty kind of thing. And they had, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about meat that wasn't really meat, but it was pretending to be meat. And that's
where
I first tried
that. Just
what
we need.
No, it was really, it was actually not bad. I thought it was not very bad at all. Anyway, we have another hour. And when we come back, we will talk more about ice cream and all the other things that we are talking about. You are listening to WWL FM. New Orleans, HD2 105.3. Give us a call when we come back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.